The title of the message tonight is Keep the Fire Burning. Keep the fire burning. After your heart is stirred and changed, after your heart experiences a revival, and I believe we experienced revival. I believe we experienced revival this past week. You look at this past week and the hearts that were convicted throughout the week. You look every night and you would see the altars full. You could drive by there and see how the grass is padded down and dead in that area by the altar of people kneeling down and praying and that altar being used. You saw the decisions made for Christ. Christians were out soul winning that have never been out soul winning before. People were knocking on doors that never shared the gospel before. Yesterday we had people out soul winning, never knocked a door before, never witnessed about Christ. Decisions were made for Christ. That's what revival is. Making decisions for Christ of things you've never done before. A passion and a zeal were formed this past week. You heard it tonight. You heard people tell about the passion and the new zeal. And it's like the time that they first accepted Christ and the passion that they had. And that zeal is renewed. And 55 precious souls that were saved. And another 4 this morning. That's revival right there. That's revival. How many churches our size see 55 souls saved from Saturday to Saturday? You say, you're just bragging on Bible Baptist. No, I'm bragging on God. That was God being willing to use us. And praise God for that. But that's revival right there. That's revival. God brought revival to our church this past week. And let me say it, if you weren't part of it, jump on in. The water's fine. Don't stay on the outside. Hey, jump on in. Allow God to work in your heart. Allow that zeal and that passion to be a part of your heart. Allow souls to be your focus. Jump on in because the water's great with where it's at here. After the revival fire is lit, though, it's important that you keep that fire burning. Revival is not a past act. Sometimes we use revival in the form of a past act. Well, we had revival. It shouldn't be, I had revival. Revival is a future occurrence. It's yes, we had revival last week, but that revival is a continual action that should be continuing in our heart and in our life as we continue to live in our life. It should be a life-changing event. It shouldn't just be, well, that week was great, I'll always remember that week. It should be that life was that week was transforming, and from here on out, I'm a different person. From here on out, I am soul conscious. From here on out, I do have that passion. From here on out, I am living that prayer life. True revival is not just an emotion and feeling I have for a week, but a change I live out in my life. Next year, we will have Brother Brian back. I invited him to come back. It was wonderful having him here. God's power is on his life. But when he comes back next week, he shouldn't have to come back and start pumping up again to get us to where we were at the end of this week. He shouldn't have to come in and say, hey, you need to have a love for souls again. Hey, you need to get busy for God again. It should already be there. We should be going into the next revival next time, already pumped up, already having that hunger, already having that zeal, and say, God, bring me to the next level now. It's not about going back down to that last level and then going back up. It's, hey, that staircase, go up to that next level, and then that next level. We got to keep that fire burning in our life. That revival fire should still be alive and burning next year. Understand, it's going to be a fight, though, to keep revival burning. It's going to be a fight, Christian. You say, man, I'm pumped up, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to charge hell with the squirt gun, and that's wonderful. But it's going to be a fight to stay that way. The flesh is going to fight your revival spirit right now. The Bible says the flesh is contrary to the spirit. Right now you're living in the spirit. Your spirit's been pumped up. It's been fed a lot this week. And man, I'm ready to go soul winning. I'm ready to pray tomorrow morning. I'm ready to be in my Bible tomorrow morning. I'm ready to touch others. I'm ready to serve God. And that's your spirit right there. But we're still attached to this flesh. I don't know about you, but my flesh didn't crawl off to me last week. I'm looking at you. I don't think yours did either. And so you're still going to have a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And you know what the flesh is going to say? The flesh is going to say, hey, I don't want to do what your spirit wants you to do. Hey, I don't want to go soul winning. I don't want to have that. Your spirit's going to say, hey, it's time to go soul winning. It's time to win souls. There's people out there that are hurting, that are wounded, that need salvation. And your flesh is going to say, no, we aren't going to do that. No, you don't have to do that this week. Don't worry about it. Your spirit's going to say, hey, it's time to wake up, read my Bible, spend some time in prayer. I need it. I need that replenishment in my life. And your flesh is going to say, no, it's okay. Just miss today. There's going to be a fight there. Understand, it's going to be a fight to keep that fire burning. It's going to be a fight to keep that revival in my life. The flesh is going to fight the spirit. It's going to fight it. Expect it now. And can I say the one that you feed the most is the one that's going to win? You feed your spirit's going to overrule your flesh. But the more that you give into the flesh and say, okay, yeah, I'll let it slide, the more your flesh is going to win. Not only are you going to fight your flesh, but then understand the devil is going to fight revival. We were looking at it from the life of Job this morning. Hey, when you catch God's attention, like we did this past week, you know who else's attention you catch? The devil. The devil. You know whose attention we caught this past week? We caught the devil's attention. I was reading that story of Job that we had in Sunday school this morning. And God noticed Job, a man that was righteous, upright, feared God, eschewed evil. And God said, hey, that's I want to bless that guy. You know what happened when Satan came his way? God said, hey, did you see Job? Satan said, yeah, I saw Job. I got my eye on Job. Hey, Satan, his attention gets captured as well. And you know what the last thing the devil wants? The last thing the devil wants is a Christian on fire for God. The last thing that the devil wants in Terre Haute is Bible Baptists to be on fire for God. The last thing the devil wants is revival. And you can guarantee the devil's going to kick it in high gear right now, and he's going to say, hey, I'm going to do everything I can to stop revival in your heart. I'm going to do everything I can to stop revival in your church. I'm going to do everything I can to stop revival in your family. The devil hates what's going on right now. And we just caught his attention. Understand this, that Satan's attack is coming. The Bible says he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Hey, the devil's already trying to ruin revival. I haven't seen it yet. Understand, he's already trying. He's already trying to stir up strife and discontent. That's how he works. He's already got plans. He's already trying to work up people's emotions. He's already trying to cause problems in people's lives to ruin the fire that's there, to ruin the revival that went on. He's already working in our church to ruin revival. The devil's already working to ruin revival in your life. Now, Lord willing, it hasn't happened yet, but can I say he's already trying to work up to hinder your ability to serve him? He's already working to steal that courage and that boldness that you got from the preaching. That faith that you receive from the hearing of God's word, the devil's already trying to steal that courage to where, I don't know. I don't know if I could give out that track. I don't know if I could be bold enough to witness. The devil's already working in the heart. Hey, he's already working to rob your joy. He's already working to take your time away from walking with God. He's already working to discourage the decisions that you made. Knowing that there's going to be a fight to have revival keep burning. But let me say, we must keep it burning. Hey, Christian, there's going to be a fight, but you have to make the fight and you have to keep revival burning. Why? For your sake, for your family's sake, for our church's sake, for our country's sake. You got to keep the fire burning. You got to make the fight. You must keep it burning. I must keep it burning. We're going to pray. We're going to preach on the subject quickly tonight. Keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. Dear God, please work in our hearts tonight. Please give me your power, your wisdom. Give our hearts and our ears listening help, dear God. I know we're tired. We're exhausted, dear God. But we want to keep this fire burning in our life, dear God. We want to keep this fire burning in our church. We want to see you do great things through us, dear God. May this be helpful and practical to the Christian to see this fire continue in their life. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Here in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8, God begins to instruct Moses concerning the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering. Now, if you remember, we did a Bible study just recently on Wednesday nights on the different offerings, and we brought up the burnt offering. The burnt offering was a sacrifice, does anyone remember? A sacrifice of surrender. Of surrender. The burnt offering was a sacrifice of surrender and yieldedness to God. It was, God, all that I have, all that I am is yours. That's what the burnt sacrifice, when they would offer it, that's what it meant. I'm surrendering, God, what I have to you. Hey, this is what revival is. Revival is the Christian saying, God, all that I have, all that I am is yours again. God, all that I am, I want you to have it. I'm surrendering, I'm yielding to what you want in my life, God. That's what revival is. Revival is a renewed surrender to God in our lives. All that I have, all that I am is yours, God. And I'm going to give it to you with all my heart. I was rejoicing about what we were able to do for Brother Brian. You say, well, that's too much to give a man. No. Honor, the Bible says to honor the man of God. That's what we did this past week. He was telling me about churches he would go to. And he wasn't telling me to give a pity. He was just telling me how evangelism. I was asking him questions. He goes to churches that they have next to nothing. He'll sleep in the Sunday school room on a cot. They'll give him an offering that doesn't even cover his expenses. But he says, oh, God always takes care of it. And that's how he lives, by faith. God always takes care of it. And then he'll come to a church like ours. I don't know many churches. I could be wrong. I don't know many churches our size that the evangelist comes for a week and walks away with a $2,100 love offering. Hey, I was just shouting. I was rejoicing about that. That's just wonderful. You know what happened? Why did that happen? Because when revival takes place, all that I have, God, is yours. I'm no longer closed-fisted of God. Hey, this is my money, and God, I have this and that. No, I'm open-handed. God, all that I have is yours. Hey, why did we have so many out soul winning yesterday and people that had never been out before? Because God, my time is yours. All that I am is yours, God. That's what revival is. It's that burnt offering, that yieldedness that God's instructing Moses about right here in this passage. Notice what God says about this burnt offering, verse 9. It says, it is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar. Notice this, all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. Just a few characteristics that we pull from this. The fire is to burn all day and all night. In verse number 12, it says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. Now, I'm going to help you a little bit of Hebrew study here. You know what he's saying right here? I'll help you here. He's saying, don't let the fire burn out. Hey, we need to keep that fire going. Hey, we need to keep that fire going on the altar for the burnt offering. That's exactly what he's saying about the burnt offering here. Now let's relate it to our day in life here. When I yield myself, when I make myself a surrender to God, when I get that revival in my heart, you know what I must do as a Christian? I can't let that fire burn out. It's got to burn continually, day in and day out, night and morning. I got to keep that fire in my life. Don't let it burn out. I need to keep the fire of revival burning in my life. You need to keep the passion and the zeal in your life. You need to keep that hunger and that thirst that you had on Friday night. You need to keep that enthusiasm and that compassion that you have for lost souls right now. Revival can be emotional. I understand that because our emotions, it's part of us. But don't let revival just be emotions. You see, emotions go up and down. And if all revival is my emotions, then eventually revival is going to go down. At some point in time, when my emotions stop, I need to keep going. My actions need to keep going. And that's true revival when it's not just emotions, when my actions are backing it up and I'm going to stick with it long after maybe the emotions aren't there anymore. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to continue to say, God, give me that passion. Give me that compassion. Give me that zeal that I need, dear God. There was a boy that I went to school with in college. He's not a boy anymore. He's a man now, married. They have one on the way. I worked with him. And I would drive to work with him. And the kid was in Bible college, but he was as backslidden as could be. Hey, not everybody in Bible college is there to serve God. That's just how it is. It doesn't matter where you go. And he was as backslidden as all can be. He didn't care about serving God. He was there because he had to be there. And he would drive us to work, and he had the wrong music playing. He'd get to work. His language wasn't the cleanest. And Bible college student. But something happened. We had some camp meetings that they had every year. And one night, I don't know, anyone know Don Green? Pastor Don Green, great old evangelist up in Michigan. Actually, Brooke Johnson goes to his church up there. Old man of God. Has the power of God on his life. He preached one night about being filled with the Spirit, having God's power in your life. And this young man, my co-worker, man, God got a hold of his heart that night. He was weeping down at the altar. Something changed that night. But can I say, it wasn't just that night. That week he got rid of his music. That week he had a passion for souls. That week he couldn't get enough preaching. And it went on and on. The man's now an evangelist traveling around preaching. You see, revival started back then, and yes, there was some emotion with it, but it wasn't just emotion because there was change that came after it, and he kept the fire burning in his life, and it's still burning today. And can I say, that's what you and I need. We need to keep that revival fire burning. Let me give some few practical, if it will be, helps tonight. What is going to keep my fire burning? Let me give you five things that will help to keep our fire burning. Number one, I'll give you to these quickly. Number one, fuel the fire. Fuel the fire. If the fire is going to keep burning, the fire is going to have to be fed. Hey, that's elementary there. That's kindergarten stuff. If the fire's gonna keep burning, you need to feed the fire. I remember that first man camp out. We do a man camp out every year. That rough, tough man camp out, amen? And, we have a good time doing that. We go freeze. We froze the first year. We did it in November, the first week in November. Why in the world I did it in November, I don't know. I don't know. We never did that again though. They had tents around there. I stuck my sleeping bag in one of the tents. It got dark out. It got around 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. And Chuck Benninger, one of the church members, they moved away now, but he was there. and we were sitting there just talking all night. It got to go to bedtime around 1:30, 2 o'clock. I go looking for my sleeping bag. That tent, no, it's not that. I swear to this day, one of these teenagers took it and was sleeping in my sleeping bag. So I had no sleeping bag. I said, well, I'll huddle by the fire. I curled up. They had a big fire pit there. We had a fire in the middle. I literally went inside of the fire pit right next to the fire. I had ashes all down my side the next morning trying to get close to that fire. It was literally 30 or below than 30 that night. It was cold, and all I had was a jacket on. I'm getting close to that fire. About every half an hour, I'd have to get up and go find another log and put some logs on the fire again. Put another log on the fire, isn't there a song like that? And put that log on the fire, get that fire going again, get it burning again. Okay, that was my singing talent there. You just experienced it. Now you know why I don't sing solos in church. Get that fire fed again. Hey, if I didn't continue to feed that fire would go out and I would get cold real quick. Can I say, Christian, if you don't feed the fire, what's going to happen is you'll get cold real quick. Your heart is going to get cold real quick. You're going to lose that passion and that zeal real quick. To keep the burnt offering fire going, look at what the priest was instructed to do in verse 12. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. He says, keep that fire going. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. He says, hey, every morning that priest has to go out there and he has to add some more wood to the fire. If the fire is going to keep going, more wood is going to be needed. You know why? Because eventually, yesterday's wood burns out. Eventually, the wood that you put on it yesterday is going to burn out. We had a great week of meetings. There was some preaching where we revived. That fire was started. But can I say, the preaching of last week is going to eventually burn out. That fuel that you had, it's going to burn out. That excitement that you had last week and where it was fueled from is not going to last you the rest of your life. I can't live on yesterday's messages. I can't live on yesterday's work. I can't live on the revival of the past. I need to continue to fuel that fire in my life if that fire is going to stay burning. I got to add some logs to the fire. How do I fuel up? Well, I got to fuel up on God's Word. What ignited your flame in the first place? What ignited that fire in your heart in the first place? It was the preaching of God's Word. It was a preaching of God's Word. Hey, God's Word, that preaching got my heart going. What's going to keep my heart going on, teenager? What's going to keep my fire for the Lord? God's Word and the preaching of it. Hey, I got to be here for the preaching. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I got to be there for the preaching. Why? Because I need my fire to stay lit. Hey, you know what's a good idea? To get preaching CDs. Preaching CDs. Preaching cassettes. Everyone used to have preaching cassettes. You remember those days? Somewhere along the line, we stopped listening to preaching. And it just became a Sunday and Wednesday thing. No, it wouldn't hurt to keep our fire going, to fuel it with preaching. Hey, I'm driving at work. Maybe you drive a truck during the day, I stick in a preaching CD. Maybe I got a ride to work, a longer drive, or maybe it's just a 10-minute drive. I stick in a preaching CD. Allow myself to hear some preaching. Preaching. Hey, if that ignited my flame in the first place, what's going to keep the flame going? Some fuel that ignited it to begin with. The preaching of God's Word. Not just the preaching of it, but then the reading of it as well. Hey, sometimes every now and then I got to find the gems for myself. I like going and searching out for wood for myself. You ever go camping? How many have been camping in here? I don't know why. I don't enjoy buying the wood at the little clubhouse thing. I like going to search for the wood in the woods. I enjoy doing that. Getting out your flashlight, going to find wood for yourself. And man, you just feel like a man. You found your own wood, right? Bring it back and burn that wood. There's something about finding your own fuel for the fire. It's pretty neat. You know what's neat? When you go searching through that word right there and find your own fuel every now and then. Maybe it shouldn't be every now and then, every day. Hey, I'm going to find my own fuel this morning. I'm going to find what God has for me this morning. I'm going to find those gems that are buried in there. Hey, the preaching of God's Word is wonderful, but that shouldn't be the only time that I see something in God's Word and I'm like, hey, I got to do that. Hey, that's what I need. It should be on a regular basis as I read God's Word. God, show me what I need to see in this. God, fuel my fire this morning. God, keep me going this morning from the reading of of God's Word. Search the Scriptures daily to find more fuel for your fire. Search. And then ask. Ask God to keep you fueled. Ask God to keep you fueled. Spend time asking God to give you passion for souls. God, would you keep my passion, my zeal for souls? Spend time asking God to keep your heart soft and tender towards the Spirit. God, keep me tender towards you. Spend time asking God, keep me zealous and excited. Ask and it shall be given, right? Sometimes we get in a mindset that only works with big screen TVs. I'll ask God, I need a big screen TV, so I'm going to ask God. Maybe God will give me that. Hold on. Ask and it shall be given to you. That's not just material things. That's spiritual things as well. Hey, ask God. God, would you keep this fire burning? God, would you keep this fuel burning in my life? God, would you give me more? Hey, if you just ask God, you might be surprised what God will give you as far as excitement and compassion in your life. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and say, Pastor, I just don't have that passion that others are talking about right now. Hey, ask God. Hey, God, would you give me that passion? Would you give me that drive? Would you give me that zeal in my life? Ask God. Ask God to keep your fire fueled in your life. Ask God to continually fill you. Ask God to keep your spirit right. The best way to keep the fire burning is to continually fuel your fire. No fuel, no fire. You don't fuel your fire, it's going to burn out. I like making fires. I don't know if you caught on to that yet. I'm a bit of a pyromaniac when I was a kid. I don't do it as much now, but we tried burning things when we were kids quite often. You know what I discovered? The more fuel, the more fire. You know what I like doing? I like getting more fuel. Not just the wood fuel. I like getting all kinds of fuel, but that's to the side. The more fuel, the more fire. Hey, the more I fuel my fire of revival, the greater my revival will be. Hey, if you go from this place this week and you start fueling yourself more in God's Word than ever before, and you start getting that preaching in you more than ever before, you know what's going to happen? Your fire is just going to grow. It doesn't have to die. It doesn't have to go out. It doesn't have to cease to exist. That fire can continue to grow if we'll continue to fuel that fire in our life. Much fuel, much fire. Number two, fan the flame. Fan the flame. After you fuel the fire, you fan the flame to get the air to the flame. You ever make a fire before? You get that fan out and you start trying to get that air in there. What does it do? That flame gets bigger. The oxygen is helping that fire grow. What happens when you block the air out of the flame? What happens? It dies out, right? You ever use the little candle? I always mess with my mother's little candle thing. The fire was burning, you put that little candle thing on there, and it takes the fire right out of there. It has no air, so it dies out. What happens? The fire dies. I immediately need air to the flames to keep that fire burning. Hey, if I take out the air, that fire is going to die immediately. I need immediate action on my revival to keep my revival fire going. Catch that. I need immediate action on my revival if my revival is going to continue to go. When I don't act upon the revival God brought in my heart, I suck all the air out of my revival. I need immediate action. Hey, God spoke on my heart about soul winning this week. You know what that means? I need to be out soul winning this week. I'm not going to wait and push it off. I need immediate action. You know what happens when I wait? I suck the air out of it. Like Miss Randy said a little bit ago. Sometimes we make decisions for God, and God works in our heart, and I'll do it later. And then there never is a later. Why? Because the fire dies out because we don't act immediately. That air is not in the flame there. Hey, God spoke to my heart about my Bible reading and walking with God. I need to implement that immediately. Tomorrow morning, I need to wake up and get my Bible. God spoke to my heart about prayer. I need to start that immediately. I can't push it off. You know, procrastination is the biggest enemy to revival. It really is. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. Well, I'll start that next week. I'll do this when? And we always have a fill in the blank. But can I say, Christian, can I say, don't procrastinate. Immediately put into action how God has placed in your heart. You know how wonderful of a feeling it is? I'm talking to some of these people that maybe were out soul winning for the first time, or first time in a long time. I like talking to Miss Randy the other day, talking about how that soul was won to Christ. Man, she was just excited. You know how exciting it is to put into action when God speaks to your heart? He says soul winning, and I go out. He says bus route, and I get out on that bus route. Whatever He's speaking to my heart about, it's exciting when I put it into place. When I fan that flame, and I see that flame grow, and I see God work through my life. I need to fan the flame in my life if that fire is going to stay alive in my life. The Bible says, be a doer of the Word, not hearers only. Hey, I got to do right when I hear. Not just hear. Hey, I got revival this week. Well, now we got to do. Be a doer of the Word. A doer. Hey, kids, when your mama asks you to take out the trash, does she mean tomorrow? That's what she means, right? Sure, Mom, I'll get it tomorrow. Mom, I'll get that next week. No, when does she mean? Now. Now. I know that. My wife tells me, take out the trash. Now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Now. Hey, when God works on her heart, is she saying, you go do that next week and I'll be happy? Is he saying, well, when you get around to it, Christian, I'll be happy whenever you get around to it? Or is God saying now? When God speaks to our heart and he says, be a doer of the word, he doesn't mean tomorrow, he doesn't mean next week. He says, hey, put it in the action now. Fan that flame now. Have immediate action on what God has spoken to your heart about. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Believer, Christian, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Get it done today. Do today. Number three, guard against fire quenchers. Guard against fire quenchers. Now, normally firefighters are good, but in this sense, they're bad. You remember when you were in school, elementary school, hey, when you see a firefighter, run to them because they're your friend. Now, in this instance, we're going to have some reverse psychology there. All right? The firefighter now, in this sense, is not your friend. Watch out for fire quenchers. The people that want to put out your fire. And can I say, there are people that will try to smother your fire. In verse number 10, we see where the priests, it says that they needed to take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Ashes built up makes the fire go out. You ever have a fire pit before, or a fireplace? Every now and then you got to empty the ashes so that fire can be able to burn correctly. And that priest had to empty out those ashes. Why? So that it wouldn't quench the fire. It wouldn't make it difficult for the fire to burn. He says, get the ashes out of the way. Get the ashes out of the way. If we're going to keep the fire burning, we need to get away from things and people that will quench and smother the fire. Hey, I got to get away from those things that are not going to help my fire, but take out my fire. What's going to take out my fire? Sin. Sin. Hey, I got fire in my heart. If I go back and pick up sin again, if I go back to the TV and the filthy shows, you know what part of revival is? This wasn't in my notes, this is free. You know what part of the reason we have revival this week? Because we weren't able to sit there during prime time and stare at a television. We didn't fill our minds with the trash of this world. I'm serious now. It makes a difference. You saw it this week. You can't deny that. Yes, the Holy Spirit was in on it. Yes, we had a man of God. But part of that is we didn't have the trash of this world this week in our minds. And we go home and we start that back up again, fill our life with trash and sin again. Guess what's going to quench the fire? Exactly that. Sin always quenches fire. Sin always makes us do the opposite of what God wants us to do. Hey, if we're going to keep that fire alive, I got to stay clear of sin in my life. I got to keep my life clean and I got to keep my life pure. Sin quenches our thirst for God's working. Sin quenches our zeal and our passion to serve God. Sin quenches our compassion for other people. Hey, sin will quench that passion that makes you want to help others. Sin steals your fire. We've got to keep our life clean and pure to see God continue to work. You know what else will smother our fire? Critics. Critics will smother the fire. Guard yourself and guard your spirit against people that are going to be critics about what's going on. They're going to try to put out your fire. The gripers and complainers. Hey, gripers and complainers always steal your fire. Well, I just wish that they would do it this way. Griping and complaining, all the way back to the children of Israel and before then, always stole fire. Stay away from gripers and complainers if you want your fire away, or alive. Just stay away. You got to keep your spirit right. Stay away from the mockers and scorners. They're going to steal your fire. The people that say, well, these people that are all on fire for God, they think they're too holy for everybody. No, sir. No, sir. God worked in hearts this week. You get that kind of attitude around you, they're going to put out your fire. You better be careful. Stay away from fire quenchers. Those firefighters that want to put out the fire. I remember that story. I was reading it this week in 1 Kings. That prophet that went to the king and said, hey, king, you're doing wrong and God's going to judge you because of it. And he leaves the king and he starts heading back. There was an older prophet. And the older prophet said, hey, why don't you come and stop by this way? And God had told that prophet, don't stop, don't head back, you keep going on until you get home. And that older prophet said, hey, why don't you just come over here a little bit? You know who that older prophet was? He was a mossback, backslidden Christian. Well, you don't have to do that. You don't have to be so on fire. You don't have to be so wrapped up in that. Hey, stay away from the person that says, hey, that's that. You don't got to worry about all that. Those people are just hyped up. That's just emotion. That's not any real big deal. Stay away from the critics, the mockers, the scorners in it that are going to quench your fire. Stay clear of fire quenchers that will steal your revival. Protect that fire. Protect it. Number four, spread your fire. Spread your fire. Nothing keeps fire going like spreading your fire. You think of the fires out in the West. Anyone ever live out West? They got some fires out there, don't they? It gets hot out there, and those fires start getting going. And man, those spread, they take over thousands of acres out there, just destroy. Why are those fires so powerful? Because they start spreading everywhere else. And the more they spread, the more momentum they gain. You know what happens? The more that we spread our fire to others, the more momentum that we gain in our fire. I think of the revivals of the past, and you read some of those revivals. Hey, it didn't just stay in the individual. It didn't just stay in the church. What happened that made those revivals great is those revivals were spread and they started latching on to other churches. They started latching on to the other Christians. Those people that had revivals spread revival. And you saw revival sweep across America. The momentum. Why? Because it's spread. Spread your fire. Find somebody to spread your fire to. Find some people that you can spread your fire to. Maybe they're not on fire now, but you can share that revival that you had with them. Find someone you can spread. Maybe a lost soul that needs Christ. Spread your revival to them. Maybe it's a saved soul that needs some uplifting. Spread that revival to them. Revival can be contagious if I'll share it. Once again, it's that boldness thing. It's that courage thing. Sometimes we're too quick to sit in our little box. And I'll just say to myself, no, hey, revival can be contagious in this church. You say, well, I don't know if everybody had, but I hope everybody did have revival. But if somebody didn't, you can spread it to them. If you'll talk about it, if you'll get excited about it, if you'll share it, you can share that revival that you had. Hey, I promise you on the Bible, I won't call you a Pentecostal if you start sharing your revival with others. Hey, a Baptist can share the revival. Sometimes we're too scared to be called a charismatic or a Pentecostal. Hey, as long as you don't start barking like a dog, you're all right, okay? Share your revival. Share, spread. Spread that fire. Spread it to others. When we start talking about what Christ is doing in our heart, our fire starts burning deeper. Talk about it often. Praise God about what's happening. Let others know your excitement. A selfish soul will starve the fire. Share your fire with others. Number five, and we'll be done. Have gratitude for your fire. Have gratitude for your fire. This is an important one. Give God thanks and praise for bringing revival in your life. Don't get over the fact that God would be willing to send revival to you. Hey, catch us. God didn't owe us anything. This past week, God did not owe us revival. God did not owe you a working in your heart or me a working in my heart. God is not obligated to do anything for us. You understand that? God decided, I'm going to meet with you. I'm willing to come down and touch what you have going on there. Hey, I'm willing to come in on Sunday morning and see four precious souls saved. Hey, that's God right there. God is the one that starts revival. Now, I can prepare for it, but I can't make it happen. God makes it happen. I can prepare my heart. I can do things in my life to prepare for it, but God strikes that fire. I ought to thank God for it. You look here in Leviticus chapter 6. You see, look at what the priest did after he offered the burnt offering of surrender in verse 12. We're going to begin in the middle part of verse 12 there. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn it thereon the fat of the peace offering. He says, after you get done with this burnt offering, the surrender, just giving God your life, he says, then there's a peace offering that follows. Now, if you remember back to our study, peace offering, what was a peace offering? Peace offering was a sacrifice of gratitude. Gratitude. After the sacrifice of surrender, that renewed revival in our hearts once again, that renewed revival in our life, we must offer the sacrifice then of gratitude. That is the fruit of our lips, giving praise to our God continually. Saying, God, thank you. God, I appreciate you. God, I love you. Thank you for working in my heart. Can I ask you, did you thank God this morning for what He did in your heart this past week? Have you gotten on your knees and said, thank you, God? Thank you, God, for working in my life. Thank you, God, for working in my heart. Gratitude needs to be followed. God does not have to meet with us or work on us. Thank God. Thank God every day for the fire that He's given in your life. Thank God. Hey, there's no better way to keep your fire burning than to spend time every day thanking God for the fire He's put inside of your heart. You know what happens when you stop thinking? You know what happens when you stop thinking? When I refuse to give gratitude anymore, I start forgetting. And when you forget, that fire goes away. When I remember to thank, I remember what God did in my heart again. And I keep that fire going in my life. Our last verse tonight describes the revival fire we should have. Look at verse 13 and we're done. It says here, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. He says, hey, this burnt offering, it should be on the altar, ever burning, and it should never go out. Hey, this describes our fire tonight. Our revival fire that you have in your heart tonight, that our church has in our church tonight. Can I say, this ought to describe it right here. It ought to ever be burning and never go out. Hey, for the rest of your life, you keep this revival fire in your heart. You keep feeding the fire. You keep fanning the fire by having immediate action. You stay away from those fire quenchers. You start spreading that fire. You start thanking God for that fire. Keep that fire burning in your life. Don't let that fire go out, church. Don't let it go out. May next year at this time that we be seeing God just continue to bring us to the next level and the next level. Why? Because that fire stays in our heart. This is what God wants the Christian to do. Keep that fire burning in our hearts.